honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, and a chance to get a very unique perspective today from 92-year-old Jacob Volkov of Fresno, California. We've heard about the religious persecution that forced his family out of Russia to Turkmenistan and then to Persia. He came to America just in time to get drafted into the Army during the Korean War.
What are the memories that you have from your time in the Army? Maybe the best memories, the worst memories? What are some of the things that stand out from your 2 years in the Army?
I felt like one of the Americans, but once in a while I would translate jokes and sometimes mispronounce a word. For example, let me tell you, one of my jobs for American sergeants in Iran yet told me she would take sheets, pillowcases, and the sergeant's military uniform to take to the laundry. And she said, please write down how many coats, how many sheets, how many whatever. And I wrote down, I gave her my list, and she looked, she said, Jacob, you did a pretty good job. However, we didn't spell sheets like that. She said, because the way you spelled it is a bad word. And she told me what it is. And you know what? Instead of being embarrassed, I was embarrassed, yes, but I felt proud. I said, here I learned first American swear word that my students in the classroom will never hear.
Is there anything else about your time in the military that stands out or that was important to you?
There were some people who were not Americans. Probably their parents were immigrants. He was pretty smart, and somehow he didn't like me. I was also working before I started working in the hospital. I worked in the post office, in the office, because I could typewrite, in the office for a dentist. And I did all the, prepared all the papers to be sent to Washington, D.C. And when everything ready, once a month, someone took those papers, put them in envelopes, and take them to the post office. A place where GIs worked. It was not the post office.
Right.
So one person wouldn't let me take the papers that I typed to take to the post office because I was Russian. I was hurt. I thought of Russia, of America, as a heaven on earth. I came here, and my wife especially. If anyone asks her, do you know Russian or something, she says, I am an American. She would never admit that she's Russian. I admit Russian, that I am Russian, because I was hired in high school to teach Russian. I was hired to teach in beginning college.
Yeah.
So I don't hide it. but I am an American.
Yeah, and you have some recent perspective on all of this, too. You got to go to Washington, D.C. Your son went with you, Central Valley Honor Flight. What did that experience mean to you? What kind of perspective did that give you?
I was like a foreigner. To me, everything was new. And something, it was foreign, but so beautiful. And I was made a hero among all other people. I was treated like a hero. And I loved every bit of it.
When you visited a place like the National World War II Memorial that honors over 400,000 Americans who died in World War II, or the Korean War Memorial, the war you served in, where there now are 36,000 American names that have been added to it, or the Vietnam Memorial, where there are 58,000 names. What kinds of thoughts or emotions did you experience at those memorials?
I wanted to cry. I said, look at all these young people. Life is with them. It's like a flower that's just opened. And they're all dead. And we are showing all of these buildings, tools, bragging that about their guns. What are those guns for? Killing people. So being a religious person, that entered my mind. And I enjoyed it all. The work, the way that they described. And yet, I wanted to cry.
And then you came home from there, and I know you had plenty of mail to open on the plane, and then you had a few people waiting for you, wearing red, white, and blue, and cheering, and the band playing, and the sailors standing at attention. What did that mean to you?
I felt like a real hero. And there was a school at, what's the place where they lay the
reed?
Arlington. Yeah. There was a school there. And about five chosen students were involved, and those children were probably asked to write letters to the heroes there who came there, the honored students in red jackets. And they gave them to somebody and they put them aboard. And just about approaching Fresno, pilot said, now listen carefully. You have mail aboard the plane. So sit quietly, it will be brought to you. I thought, who will write to me? But meanwhile, our twin boys and the oldest daughter called all my relatives and explained my participating in honor flight to Washington, D.C., and they all wrote congratulatory letters. That was an honor from those students who called me a dear veteran. And they all took every one of them as if someone was fighting in the battle and surviving the battle and coming home and now honored by flying. They treated me, who lived peacefully in Japan. I didn't have any hard time in Japan. I was so pleased. Some of them were fourth graders. Some of them just drew something. And some bad English. I cherish the bad. I'm going to save them. I am saving them. I mean, to see those children thinking of me as an American hero. I became a thoroughly American. I became thoroughly American long before this flight, but even more so now. I am truly American.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, because you have a perspective that many of us don't. Those of us who were born in this country have never known anything but freedom, can take it for granted. But you were born just because of your religion. You weren't welcome to maintain Russian citizenship. In a way, you were a man without a country for a good portion of your life.
We were called uncitizens in Russian and Farsi. Means we didn't belong to any country.
So you were the outcast, you were the alien, but you just told me how proud you are to be an American. And when you came home on this honor flight, you saw age 0 to 100, every ethnicity, religion, tax bracket, political persuasion, all of them agreeing that you deserve gratitude, and they're cheering for you, and they're waving that flag, the red, white, and blue. So when you see that flag now, what does it represent to you?
It's different. It touches my heart. Now, one thing, one letter that really, really touched me, it was written by a Hmong soldier, junior in high school. And he wrote what I did to help his parents who were mistreated by their own country, and America brought them to America. And what a pleasure it was. And I am saving that America for their parents. To me, that was touching.
So you shared with me the parallel between your experience and the privilege you had by serving in the Army of helping preserve America so other immigrants like that young Hmong gentleman was able to share with you. What does America mean to you? What does it represent in your mind?
It means I belong here. I am accepted here, that I am a true child of America.
Bachelor's and master's degrees in English and Russian. He would teach both languages in high school and college, and I have no doubt that his story has taught you something today. If you want to see his photo with Gorbachev or shots from the honor flight, or of course his book, Trekking Through Trials, visit hometownheroesradio.com or just check out Hometown Heroes Radio on Facebook. Thanks so much for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.